This is Bob Gribble of Phenomena Research in Seattle, Washington. We recently read an article in the Centralia Chronicle describing some UFO sightings you've made in your area, and apparently you have had a lot of experiences. I'm wondering what was going on down there.
Well, that astronomer up there in Centralia said I ought to report all them. I said, listen, if I'd report all them, I'd be calling that newspaper every day.
You see them that often?
Yeah, we've seen eight here this last week.
Eight?
Yeah.
Were these fairly low level or at high altitude type?
Oh, they was up probably 2,000 feet.
Well, you must live pretty well out in the country then, have very good view.
I live right in town in Toledo.
You do?
But, I take my binoculars every night when the night, when it's clear weather and drive around here.
I see.
A lot of times I pick them up where that Catholic mission is at up there. And, they seem to hang a lot around east of the place up here on the hill. Now, they've been staying there. They hover over that Bonneville power line east of where my restaurant is.
I
own that drive-in up there where that free zoo is at. I own the animals.
I see.
I got animals in there all over the world. It's on the danger list of being extinct. I've been raising them for 28 years. When I first moved up there, 12 years ago now, in June, one night I was out there burning papers, I seen a real bright light off of over there west of where my restaurant's at. And I couldn't figure out what it would be so doggone bright down so low. And so I got to watching, I was burning papers. Pretty soon I see the doggone thing went real dim. Then it got bright again. Then it went dim five different times. And the fifth time it went dim, why, it took off and went north, and it stopped up there over the town of Applevine. And it hovered there for about, stayed there about an hour. Then it went east over by where that gas field is at Mary's Corner, and it hovered there for about an hour. And it does that same thing. When it gets ready to move, it starts going dim and bright about five or six times. And then it went south, down here somewhere. I couldn't see where it went to. But when I came home at 11:30, why, I seen it hovering out there east of Al Comey's house.
Uh-huh.
And about 6 years ago, one night, a girl from Toledo here and her boyfriend was coming from Winlock. And one followed along the side of them about 30 feet high from the bottom of Pike's Hill over to where Al Comey's was. When it got there, the highway turns to the south. And the flying saucer just went straight out in the east there, see?
Yes.
But you know...
Huh? Go ahead.
In 1974, why, we started seeing different colored lights on them. The red light and the blue light. Now, up in the top, it'll have two blue lights, and down on the bottom, it'll have a red one.
Uh-huh.
And then the ones that's got the green lights, well, they've got the green and yellow is what they are. Well, now I've got everybody in this country watching for it. But anyway, I started telling you, in 1974, a guy was down there one day waiting for the bus to come in. His kid was coming in on the bus here. And he asked me, he said, you've been watching them UFOs this summer? And I said, yeah. I said, I've only seen three. Hell, he said, I've seen a dozen or more up there. He said, what do you think of them red lights on them? Well, I said, now listen, I hadn't said anything about them red lights to anybody on my life. I said, I didn't figure anybody'd believe us. I said, my eyes been going haywire here lately, and I had to start wearing glasses when I read. And I didn't know if it was my eyes or not, but I had her looking through the binoculars, and she said, yeah, it's got a red light on it, all right. But, it's really something.
Well, now, these objects that have been seen over the electric transmission lines, are they fairly low?
Yeah, they'd have to be pretty low. A guy called me the other day, and he said, I want to talk to you about that. He said, I've seen that one over there that you're talking about, over there northeast, west of Winlock. He said, I want to show you right where that is. He said, I just live a little ways from there. He said, I've been seeing that in there, he said, for several years. What I want to do, I want to get a infrared lens for my movie camera, and I'm going to get some pictures of them at nighttime.
Well, if you do, we'd sure like to hear about it.
Now, are you the man who's connected with these meteorites?
No, we have... No, our investigation is strictly UFOs.
Is that right?
Right.
Now,
have you, in all the years that you have been seeing these things, have you ever had any close encounters with them?
Well, I've seen two of them in the daylight here about 6 years ago east of Toledo up near Mount St. Helens. Now, they were perfectly round, and the big one taking the lead was twice as big in diameter as the one behind.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know they're being brought here on mother ships because I seen one go into a mother ship over in Elko, Nevada, be 3 years ago this April. Me and another guy, the guy that owns Panorama Music Company from Nashville, Tennessee, and him and myself and my wife. And I know loggers here that have seen them up here working for Weyerhaeuser, have seen the mothership let them small ones come out of them, as high as 10 of them come out.
For heaven's sake.
But you know, these guys won't tell nobody nothing about it.
Well, but, I really can't blame them.
I never used any of them guys' names, only the guys that them guys out that night, they wanted me to call the paper and tell them about it, and that's the only reason I called the paper.
Yes.
Like I said, if I could have told them about these for years, I've seen over 1,000, no doubt. Because in the summertime up there in around the restaurant, I see them every night.
Well, now, have you ever seen any of these things come down and land or come to near landings?
No, I never have, and I know people around Toledo here that have seen them land at nighttime.
Uh-huh.
They've been landing up there west of the airport.
A woman
seen one at work for me up there in the restaurant here about 3 weeks ago.
Well, do you keep any records of these, a file of any kind?
No, I don't. I used to write it down when I dates when I seen it, and I thought maybe at one time I'd write a book on it about it, but I don't know what happened to it.
Well, that takes a lot of time.
I got a book wrote about the Bigfoots. I've done a lot of research on the Bigfoots, and every time that I try to get anybody to type it off, they change the doggone thing around like they're writing the story, and I'm just telling them they're in there writing and all this. They want to cash in on every doggone thing.
That's right. I can understand that. Well, now, what is the name of your restaurant? I see. And what highway is that on?
Oh, it's on the freeway.
Right on the freeway?
100 miles south of Seattle.
Uh-huh.
I've got all colors of deer, red ones, white ones, black ones, and a herd of elk. And forehead of buffalo.
Well, that's the one on the right side of the freeway heading south, then.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Is there any particular time of a day or the week that a person could come down and talk to you?
Oh, you can talk to me anytime. I'm not doing nothing. Now, I could name dozens of guys in Toledo here that I've had looking at these UFOs all the time. Now, the reason I got a hold of them that night, we've been talking down there in the Calif Landing about a week before that, and there was a bunch of guys there, and they said, now listen, they said, if you want to get a hold of, see them UFOs, you get a hold of them. He watches them every night. So got a hold of him, and he said, now listen, the guys down around the garage there tell me you're watching for UFOs every night. And I said, if you ever see another one, I want you to call me or come and tell me. He said, I want to see what one of them looks like.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, man, I said, we'll be seeing them. I said, if the weather clears up, no doubt. But then I said, I only seen three last year, but I said, well, we've seen about a dozen or 15 of these. But I said, we'll see some. There'd be no doubt about that. So I called him and told him, and he couldn't find his binoculars. He called me back and said, boy, I can't find my binoculars. I told him if he couldn't find his binoculars, call me back and I'd bring mine down.
Is he an astronomer?
Oh, no, he's just a retired guy. He's been in business here about 50 years in this big truck shop and garage here in Toledo.
Oh, I see.
And so I went down there with my binoculars, and while I was there, he's got a brother that lives there, too, but name is, so I got him out there looking at it, and you can see the red and blue light on it. It only had one blue light up in the right-hand corner and a red one in the left-hand corner. And while we were there, then his brother Brennan came down there, And they all viewed it through the binoculars, and they said, well, they'd never seen nothing like that before. So if it hadn't been for them people wanting me to call the paper, I wouldn't even call the paper about that one. My brother seen one landed one time on his ranch about 20 years ago. Now, he told me that he looked at it too with binoculars, and he says that the doggone thing has got ventilators on it that opens up along the side of it, that he thinks that the air comes out of there that makes it run, so I don't know what it is.
I see.
But any time you want to call, make an appointment with me, I'll be sure and be here.
Oh, fine. That would be great.
We got a bunch of ranches down here. We've been working on the ranches in the wintertime, and we build roads in the summertime. We got rental construction company, my brothers and I.
Well, we sure appreciate talking to you sometime, and as soon as the weather clears a little bit, why, I'll give you a call. How would that be?
Yeah, well, that'd be fine.
And I sure appreciate your talking to me tonight.
Well, now, didn't you come down here? That name sounds familiar up here when this meteorite fell here a while back.
We spent a considerable amount of time investigating. We didn't go to the site because of the weather.
Where could I sell some of those meteorites at?
You mean the fragments?
Well, the main ones. I had a genius to build a gold-finding machine for me one time. And we've discovered that it picks up meteorites. Took him 20 years to build it.
Oh, really?
I picked up gold as far as 25 miles away with it.
Well, there's several scientific organizations in this country who are searching for meteorites.
I got him out here after the excitement was all over here with, and he found that in 1 hour's time, that one fell up here.
Really?
Yeah, it's under about 4 feet of snow. But I know that's it because I had him out here about 2 years ago looking for gold. It's supposed to have been a gold treasure buried up in there in the early days in about 1850. And he never got any kind of a reading up in there on that whatsoever. And that was pretty close to that same area where this meteorite fell. I know where there's some big meteorites. There's one fell down in California. I used to be down in highway construction. Me and my brother's working on that freeway 101 about 100 miles south of Eureka. And that doggone meteorite fell in a big patch of oak trees. The oak trees was about 3 to 4 foot through, and it just buried them right in the ground under it.
Uh-huh.
It covered about an acre where that one fell.
Well, how big is the one that fell on the 14th?
What?
How big was the one, this last one you found?
Oh, I don't know. Like I say, it was covered with snow. We didn't try to go up there. We got within a mile of it.
I see.
But his innocence worked on it. And every one of those doggone things that we have picked up like that on that reading has been meteorites. Him and I found one 3 years ago up in there southeast of Randall, Washington. And it had three rare earth minerals in that doggone rock.
Uh-huh.
It fell in a rocky terrain, and it was a rock. Oh, it was about the size of a big wash tub. And a lot of it was just brown-colored rock, but we kept breaking the doggone thing off and testing it as I took pieces off. Finally got down to a spot of it about the size, a little bit bigger than a baseball. And almost just a round piece that had kind of brownish-yellow-colored crystal-like stuff in it. And I sent that in, and they said it was meteorite, and it had three rare earth minerals in it.
I see.
But I've sent in all the time I've been looking for this gold, I've sent in 30 of them that was meteorites, small pieces.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, that's the worst thing about it. Doc saw we kept finding no gold. We're picking up them things. I dug a hole down there. I was down in Manzanita, Oregon 2 years ago looking for that doggone Spanish treasure supposed to be buried down there, that $500 million worth. And I dug a hole there, took out a meteorite, it was 10 feet deep in the ground. It took me 8 hours to dig that doggone hole down there, dug that hole 3 feet wide and 10 feet long, and 10 feet deep. Well, I had to dig a big fence in order to get enough room to work on it.
Well, now, in these UFOs, have you ever had anyone come to interview you from an official agency?
Oh, no, I've never had nobody. Now, listen, they tell me. Boy, I ain't even report that doggone thing because now they tell me that guys that has reported it and got picture of them, man, somebody come there and took the doggone negatives all away from them.
Do you know of anyone who has pictures?
Yeah, I know some guys that got some pictures. I didn't know them, but different guys told me about it, and I called them up and tried to buy the negatives from them, and I saw at night time they're much brighter than the doggone stars. It's just pitiful.
Well, regarding these motherships, would you have any idea the size, just from a visual estimate?
Well, like that inquirer there once, I wrote in and sent them a deal on it. They was offering $50,000 if anybody could prove that they from outer space. But I would say that big one was probably a couple thousand feet across. I would say that it was probably 40,000 feet high, the one I've seen. And it looked the same doggone size as the moon does when it's full.
This was seen on a fairly clear night?
Well, it was on the evening about, it was just dust and that's all. But now listen, if I could get a guy to talk to you, I could take you out here to a guy that's, I was telling his kid, his kid was a barber over here at Winlock, and I was telling him to hear about, sometime there last year. I was telling him one time, I said, you know, I've seen a couple of UFOs one time out there in the daylight. I said, out east of where you guys live. Oh, he said, we've seen them thousands of times. He said, we've seen them ever since we was kids. And he said, my folks see them all the time. Now, they fly around that Mount St. Helens a lot. I was really surprised because I always figured they flew. I've seen some in the daytime, and it looked like that they were set just like a plate on a table did. But I couldn't figure this out unless they was turning up on edge of turning.
Yes.
But told me his dad, he told me that he said, boy, I've seen them flying, just going at a terrific speed. Them two that I've seen out there, they were going across the sky. They went across there and was out of sight before I could even get the cuss Thornton out of the house. He wanted me to go out there with him and look at that truck he was thinking about buying there. I was just standing there leaning on that doggone flat truck bed with my arms and looking off into space, and I seen them two things go by. But he said, I've seen them going at a terrific speed, and all at once they just stopped. That big one, he said. And just sat there. I said, what was it? He said, I don't know what it was. Well, I said, but today is a fine summer. He said, I don't know. But he said, you know, the man tells people to think he's crazy.
Yes, I can understand that. Has there ever been any stories circulated in the area, or have you ever talked to anyone that has claimed to have seen the occupants while these things were on the ground?
Nope. I've never seen one, or know anybody's ever seen one.
What would be the best area for an individual to go down there to watch?
Well, now a guy told me one time, it's been several years ago, an old guy from up there, an old miner from up there at Randall, he gave me a guy's name at Chehalis. He said, if you want to talk to a man that really knows something about them flying saucers, he said, you should go talk to him, but I never did. I forgot what his name was now, but he told me that they go up there every September and watch them, and they cross over the Cascade Divide somewhere along about where the White Pass is at. They get up on the summits and watch them. But I don't know if it's so or not. I never do see the guy. But he claims they cross there in the daytime. Now, I'll tell you, them doggone things are hard to see. Did you know that this helicopter crashed here the other day? That guy had seen that one up there. He seen a bright light right above that doggone helicopter before that rotary came off. And, now this is hearsay, but this dude was telling me last night. This Randy, the barber over there, that they've been seeing all them out there all the time.
Yes.
He said I don't know who told him, you worked here for the county, and I suppose he'd been talking about it, but he said that the doggone ace picked it up on the radar up here at the airport. Something that was above that helicopter.
Was that the one that was carrying the bell?
It hadn't got the bell yet. I seen that helicopter come up here, and I looked out the window when I went by here, and then I just started downtown to go down to pick up the mail, and he came back. They'd only been gone about 15 or 20 minutes, and they came back. They said they went up to the airport and stopped and had coffee. They came back, and they went down south here, and some lives up there on the hill, and he seen it turn. I think what they done, they went down there probably to where the freeway bridge crosses the Calif River, and they turned, and then they went north. They always fly north along the left side of that freeway. And there were a couple of guys going along there that seen that rotary come off. And one of those guys said that he seen a bright light right above that dark-down helicopter that just, all he could see was that bright light. Now, I've seen them bright lights in the daytime here myself, along in the evening when I used to come home from work different times. One time I was coming home and I seen one over the Chehalis. It was a real bright light. Come on for just a couple, 3 seconds. And went out, and it was daylight enough till I could have seen something if there had been an airplane there, but I didn't see a doggone thing. Now, I kind of think that them things are must be invisible in the daytime.
That's a very good possibility, yes.
Now, I don't know. That one up there, them two that I seen over there that time, it was about dusk, like I say, and I got a good view of them. You could see in the center that the doggone center of it was a little bit darker than the outside edges was. So the center is, I suppose, maybe a dish-shaped deal. It was a little bit darker. I seen another one one time here. This has been about 6 or 7 years ago. When we come down and pick him up, he got picked up for drunk and driving, and he's working for me there. And when we come down and pick him up, that Sunday, so I went down there to get him, and I seen something shining. And I, just as I went in behind some trees, I backed up then, and I sat there and was looking at it. I could see the doggone thing was shining. And pretty soon, boy, that rig just took off and went straight up. And man, it went out of sight and nothing flat.
Well, now, these loggers that you've talked to, do you talk to quite a few of these come into your restaurant?
Oh, well, I know all these guys around here. They've been here for years. I've been raised here. I've been gone from here 20 years. I was down in Oregon, California, and I lay construction and logging and mining, one thing and another. And I know all these guys, but they won't probably talk to anybody because they said, well, this man, they told me, they said, you're nuts for calling that paper. Why, he said, man, there'll be somebody out to talk to you, he said. Well, I said, there always has been. I said, call me up to come down there and talk to me about it. And he said, I ought to report them all. Well, he said, they'll think you're crazy if you do.
What was the name of this astronomer?
Carl Newman.
Oh, he's from the University of Washington.
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He lives there in Centralia.
Uh-huh.
I seen one there the other night. Wednesday or Thursday night. I'd have to ask my wife to know what night it was, but anyway, I stopped there at Zips to eat on the way home at Chehalis, and I come out there and I seen a doggone rig hovering out there over that new ballpark they're building up there about 2,000 feet, and I called him at it was cloudy up there over Centralia, and he couldn't see it. But it kept going dim and getting bright. It done that about a half a dozen times, but it never did move. Now, I know that whenever they go dim a few times, they're getting ready to move. I don't know what causes them to go dim or anything about it, but there's been guys told me they're operated with magnetic setup. I'll tell you one doggone thing, boy, them things can really travel. I'll bet you that they're going 35,000-40,000 miles an hour. It's unbelievable the way them two streaked across the sky. And that time I seen that one over there in Elko, Nevada, I asked that, I said, do you ever see a flying saucer? And he said, no. And I said, you stop the car and I'll show you one. And I've been walking, going along there. And it's already got dim three different times. You can buy it again. And so we stopped the car and he said, that's a star. No, I said, that's no star. I said, you watch it now. It'll go dim pretty quick again. I said, it's getting ready to move. Very soon it started going dim, boy, he really got excited. Oh, it's going dim, he said. Sure, I said it did, and I said, you just walked, now it's going to move before long. And it got by it again, and it went dim again. The next time it went dim, boy, it started out. It went straight west, and it went down there a long ways, man. It just streaked up across the doggone sky, unbelievable, got off down there. And it looked, I could see another, it was going towards, I thought that other one was a star, really. It looked like a star. And by golly, it got down and it stopped back a ways from that other light. And it started going slow. We could see it was getting closer to that other light. And it went right up. We just watched it from the time it went up when it was 2 feet in that other star. And all at once, it went right into that other doggone light. And there was just one light left. I got your name here. I got down a paper. I was going to call you up sometime and I was going to see if you know anywhere we could tell some of them meteorites. I'm going to go down to Port Arthur one of these days and get that guy out here. And I'm going to find that meteorite, that Port Arthur meteorite. They claim it's worth $2 million.
Uh-huh.
If it's there, we can find it. This black down machine will go down 400 feet deep. But it'll be too deep to dig it out.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's probably covered up with erosion now. 2 feet, maybe. What I want to do is get some infrared lenses to put one of my movie cameras. I had a movie camera built here to put the sound on the first one they ever built in 1953. And, I've got lots of movie equipment. I've followed the Bigfoot since 1947. Got a lot of movies of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, them guys that night from Geographic Magazine last summer asked me, they said, now, do you think these Bigfoots are connected to these flying saucers? I said, now listen, man, have you ever mentioned something like that? I said, they'll think that the man is crazy for sure. I said, I've thought that for a long time, but I said, boy, I wouldn't want to dare ever put anything in the paper about that. You know, a UFO over here one time landed. Over here on the hill, not too far from here, over there by that Bonneville power line at Bader. And by golly, man, them tracks on the two of them barefooted tracks just appeared right there out of that UFO and walked through the snow, about an inch of snow on the ground, and walked around a water trough there two different times and right back out past that house and out into, it was in the Christmas tree area where there's Christmas trees, and George Ingman been cutting in there. And, you'd walk right out there, boy, and they just, well, the deputy sheriff told me, they said, boy, it beats anything we've ever seen, they said.
That's similar to the old Bigfoot tracks?
Well, it was the same thing that deputy sheriff told me. I was gone the time I was up at Mount St. Helens. They'd call me, and I wasn't home, and there wasn't no way of getting hold of it, because I was up in Mount St. Helens area, up in there looking for the Bigfoot. And, anyway, them things that they got right in that helicopter, or in that UFO or whatever it was, flying saucer, and took off. And that guy told me that they heard it take off in there. It just sounded like air rushing through a doggone, through a tunnel.
Yes.
When that rig took off. I know another guy here that's seen one. Oh, I could tell you dozens of guys have seen him. But anyway, this guy's a good friend of mine, and he wouldn't tell a lie on a stack of Bibles. And he told me, he come up here, it's been about 3 years ago, and he said, now I've seen the damnest thing today I've ever seen in my life, he said. And he said, I was up there at the ranch, and he said, there was snow on the beat. It was in February, it was 3 years ago, this last February. And he said, all at once, it just quit snowing. And here this damn thing was, about 250 feet above me, he said it was a kidney-shaped thing. It wasn't making any noise at all, and just traveling by at a terrific speed. I said, what time was that, 10 o'clock this morning? And he said, yeah. Why, how'd you know? And I said, well, I started the windlock at 10 o'clock, and I said, up there, Donald Comey's. My radio just put play and went completely dead. I got a push-button radio, and I flipped it, and it didn't play a thing. And I, you know, I got clear down there at the Mormon church, and it started playing. And I know a woman, I've told everybody about these doggone UFOs and showed them to them for years around here. This woman was working down there, her name was, she's working here in a drugstore, and she told me then one day, it's been about a year ago now. But she said, my daughter and her boyfriend seen one of them flying saucers last night. And said they stopped to watch it. And the minute they stopped, the car went dead, the motor, and it wouldn't start. And she said they had to walk home. And then she said my husband and I, and we went back down there then and took them back down there to get it. And she said they got in there, and he got in there to check to see if the starter was haywire. So it started right up. But I know a lot of cases make them car motors go dead.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks again, mister. I'm going to get back to you in a couple of weeks.
You're welcome.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
This is Bob Gribble of Phenomena Research in Seattle. And we recently talked to her. Who advised us that there was some kind of UFO activity going on down there.
Yeah.
He said you went to investigate.
Uh-huh.
Did you find anything?
Oh, tonight?
Yes.
Oh, well, he just told me that I was, as I was going home to see what all the light was down beyond, but I mean, where I turn off to come home, it was still further on down the freeway, so I wouldn't have had any idea what it was.
Oh, I see.
But tonight, did he tell you tonight that he tried to get his wife and I to the door of, you know, the hamburger stand to see this one? He said it just came down from way up high, and by the time we got to the door to look out, it was beating, you know, down along, the, you know, the freeway,
uh-huh,
almost, and flashing away. So, but I mean, you know, he was wondering what all the light was, you know, on down that direction, and, you know, said if I could make out what it was to call him back, but I mean, it was on down beyond where I turned off.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it looked quite a ways like it might have been down as far as the Palace River, even, and I don't go nearly that far. Uh-huh.
Was the thing still on the move when you saw it?
Yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't up too high at that time, and, I mean, it was flashing, and it was, not too high from the ground, and I don't mean it was skimming the ground, but, I mean, it wasn't, you know, up, you know, too high.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of private planes fly that low, you know. But it was really flashing away. Now, that's the first one I've ever seen. I mean, I've gone out before and looked, a few years back or so, but I just never saw any, so I quit looking. But I gather there have been a number of people down around Toledo who have really, you know, been seeing them the last month or two.
Yes. Now, were you in the restaurant when this was seen?
Yeah. Yeah. And he came running to the back door and hollering at Elna and I to come out and see it. And by the time we got there, it was already, you know, flying parallel to the ground, you know. I mean, where he said it had been up quite high and came just straight down. But by the time we got to the door, it was down and scooting, you know.
Heading south.
Yeah.
Was this parallel in the freeway?
Just about. I mean, it was a little to the right of the freeway, the same as his hamburger stand, but I mean, it was just like it was heading right along the freeway.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Until it was out of sight. I mean, there's a lot of trees, you know, but we could see it, you know, for some distance.
Now, did you say that this thing had colored lights?
Not this one. This one was flashing, and he said that's the first one he'd seen that way that most of the others they had been seeing it was flashing colored lights.
Uh-huh. Well, that's fine. At least I know that there was something involved anyway.
And I mean, it wasn't small either. I mean, you know, those flashes. I mean, really, you know, there would have been some dimension to them. I mean, even from the distance where we were, you know.
Yes.
They weren't dinky by any means.
How about the color, these flashes?
Well, what do you want to call it? It's just like a bright light, but not golden.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't mean a golden glow to it. And I mean, it's just the bright as they fly. I don't know whether, and it was like, you know, it would be, say, like in stripes. I mean, it wasn't just a solid glow, but it was either like, I don't know what the heck, but it was like striped ridges going up and down, and they were seen to be narrower at the bottom and then spreading out a little bit more towards the top.
Yes.
You know, so they were a little wider at the top of it. And I mean, how can you tell? I don't know how the thing wasn't up too high, and but I wouldn't know how far away it was, but still, each of those flashes from the bottom to the top, I mean, they didn't look like a little inch or two. I mean,
yes.
You know, they had some length to them.
Okay, how about the weather conditions?
Right at that time, yes. It probably was sprinkling.
Well, then you did have a cloud layer.
I would imagine, because I know I left right after that, and I had to turn on my windshield wiper, so I know it was, you know, a good sprinkle.
Yes.
I mean, you know what our weather's been today.
Right. About what time did this happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, let's see, I signed out at 8 o'clock, so it must have been, say, it had to be at least 10 to 8, I would say. It could have been 5 to 8, but right around in there.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we were just about through cleaning up, and I was about ready to leave, so it had to be right around 5 or 10 to 8.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very, very much.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bob Gribble here.
Yeah, hello, Bob.
I understand you saw something tonight.
That's the doggone thing I've ever seen. Boy, that white light on it. It was a turning like them red ones has been and them blue ones.
Uh-huh.
But that's the first time I've ever seen one of them with a white light on it. A turning. I don't know. I thought it landed. I don't know. It went down behind them trees over there. I don't know where it could have possibly landed at. It came down out of the sky. It come on. All I seen one was about probably 1,000 feet high. Maybe a little higher. But it come right down. It was down within 400 feet of the ground when it went in behind them trees. Well, it was probably lower than that, maybe 300 feet. But it was right south of that restaurant there. It was probably down there 1,000 feet.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple little strips of field, open field in between that timber is all. But that light was so doggone bright, it was unbelievable. It just showed up around that dot down right on the bottom of it.
Uh-huh.
It just lit the whole sky up.
Did you see it as it was coming down out of the sky?
Yeah, I seen it was up, like I say, it was around about 1,000 feet or so when it came on.
Was this a vertical drop?
Yeah, coming straight down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you get any, was there any, outline that you could see?
No, I couldn't see it.
Just
all light. On that bright light.
Uh-huh.
And boy, it was really whirling.
It was spinning light?
Yep, it was spinning. That's where all these other lights are, these red ones and blue ones we've been seeing on them.
You say this was on the bottom of the object?
Yeah, well, I'd say it was on the bottom because all I could see was just lit up everything right underneath it.
I see.
And that was the only light that was on it. You know, they've seen some cigar-shaped flying things, too, just like them rigs, that can go in the water.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We've heard about those.
Now, a kid up here, it's been about a year ago, or maybe not quite a year ago. No, probably been 9 months ago. A kid up here lives up on the hill, just a little kid, about 8 or 10 years old. He seen one go over the barn there one night, and he said it was so low it rattled that tin roof on the barn, but I don't think that was, I think it was probably making a little bit of noise, maybe, and it sounded like it was rattling tin on that roof.
Uh-huh. Well, now, this one tonight, did it just continue moving off horizontally away from you?
Oh, no, it just came down out of the sky down there and went in behind them trees, and I couldn't see where it went to.
Uh-huh.
See, it was down the road from south of my restaurant, probably 1,000 feet. But when it gets down behind the trees, then I couldn't see nothing.
Yes.
I figured it landed, but I don't know, like I say, I don't know where it could have landed out unless it was in that little strip. There are a couple little narrow strips there. It slowed down a lot there at the last, though. It didn't, wasn't coming as fast as it was to start with. Now, by golly, them things can really bring that to a quick halt, I'll tell you.
Yeah. They're getting awful close to you, aren't they?
Well, I never thought to tell you last night. That one told me up there last Friday night out here, they had a, Chief Wilson retired here, and they had a party out there for him at the Lone New Grange, and he told me that a week ago that night, he seen one hovering over my restaurant about 400 feet in the air, and he said he stopped there, And he said he'd been there about a minute, and he said, boy, it took off right at the word Mount St. Helens.
I'll be darned.
And I think he said it had a... I think he said it had a blue and a red light on it.
Uh-huh. And he couldn't make out any outline either.
Oh, no. Now, listen, if I had an infrared lens, we could make an outline on them.
Right. That's what you need.
Has anybody got any around that we can get? I got a movie camera, 16 millimeters, got an inch opening on it.
Uh-huh.
If we had an inch infrared lens, I'll get some pictures of them doggone things.
I see.
Now, this guy's running that service station. He seen one there, what did he say, two or three nights ago, off over there to the right of the freeway. But that's what they do. They hover over that power line over there, then they go to Napalvine. Then they'll make another move east, and they'll cover over that doggone over in there towards that gas installation where they got that gas field there. And he said it was hovering over there to the right of the freeway over that where they got that pumping station in.
Oh, I see.
Then he said it moved and went about 2 miles and stopped again. And he said it started raining like a son of a gun, and he said he went on in the house and forgot about it.
Well, now, how was the weather tonight when you saw this?
It wasn't raining tonight. It was clear. It has been raining like a son of a gun all day, though.
Yeah.
It just literally poured.
Have you heard of anyone else that saw this tonight?
No, I showed it to my wife, and it was right there by the door. I got it out there before it went down in behind them trees.
Uh-huh. Well, I talked to this...
Yeah?
And, she said that when she was on the way home, traveling down the freeway tonight, she could still see the thing heading south, parallel in the freeway.
She could?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, it was probably standing still down there then, maybe.
Well, she said by the time she got to her turnoff, the thing was well south of her. She figured it was awful close to the river.
Oh.
But she said that it was obviously quite large because the thing was really bright from even her distance.
Yeah. I'll be doggone. Well, it didn't land then. Well, I didn't know what it done. Maybe it did kind of hover there and take off. I don't know. Did she say if the light was still hurling or not?
She said it was still very brilliant. It was brilliant. She said it appeared to be flashing.
Yeah, well, that's the way it does. It turns around, see? And it seems like maybe on one side is brighter than it is on the back part of it, because it kind of makes a... It's kind of got a shadow a little bit when it turns.
Uh-huh.
And one side is really bright.
I see.
Boy, if I had some infrared lens now, I guarantee you I'll get some doggone pictures of some of them rigs. Well, I'm going to get some. I'm going to get a whole newspaper or somebody and see if I can borrow one from them.
Well, we sure appreciate your calling about this tonight.
Did they call a radio airport up here?
I think they tried to get through, but they, for some reason, they didn't make it. Apparently,
you know,
the lines
you know
busy.
That guy up there told somebody here a while back that they picked up something on the radar here. One night we seen one of them.
Uh-huh. And no doubt they do.
I don't know. I don't think them guys are allowed to tell anybody anything. You know, I called the sheriff's department here one time along the summertime there when that one kept moving a little bit, tried to get them to come down there and look at it.
Uh-huh.
And they said they didn't have anybody in there at the time, and said if anybody come in, they'd send them down, but nobody come.
Right.
But I was up there feeding animals that night. I'd been somewhere that day, and I got home late, and I went up there about 10 o'clock that night, and I was feeding them, and I seen the doggone thing setting up there along the right of the freeway about over there where that oil pumping station is. Pretty soon it took off and went about, probably a mile south and stopped again. And I was feeding along there and kept watching. Pretty soon it moved again. And then it was still there when I left and to go home. And I tried to get the doggone sheriff department to send a deputy down there and some state patrols and do that doggone thing, but...
Well, do you feel that possibly the electric transmission line is what is attracting them?
Well, now listen, I'll tell you, every doggone time I've seen that up there at the restaurant at nighttime, they're always hovering over that power line to start with.
Uh-huh.
And seen one here about, well, it'd be about 3 weeks ago now. It's been about a week since he told me about it. He's seen one up there hovering over the doggone power line, and it was just flying right down the power line. He's going along there in his car, and it had a real bright green reflection with a yellow lights in the center.
Uh-huh.
But I know these doggone, them other lights are flashing. These guys have got better eyes than I've got. They're going to tell me if these other lights are all turning.
I see.
Up in the air there.
Uh-huh.
Haven't you guys ever seen any of them?
No. I haven't. Several of the other people have.
There was one that hovered over that doggone steam plant. I was a working. It's been about maybe 67, somewhere along there. We'd have to check with the mill where I built that road up there, both buildings, to be sure. But I've seen one up in that around down that area a lot at nighttime and. Then early one morning, we was going to work, but nine, I told old Charlie, I said, boy, look at that bright star, I said. And that's before I really know too much about them.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know, you know, I'd hadn't been to see them getting bright and dim too much there. But anyway, this one was just sitting there bright, and I said, look at that doggone bright star there, Charlie. And he said, boy, that is bright. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And so... pretty soon, I said, by golly, it ain't no star. I said, it's moving now. And it took off and went up there about to where that steam plant was at and stopped. And that's when they was building that steam plant up there out of Centralia.
Yes.
So, and then I seen one night down there, well, several nights, coming home late at nighttime in the summertime. The days is long. And I seen one down there. I stopped there one night and I got a hold of a guy by the name of McGuire. He was down there, there was that old bill. And I stopped and showed him. Now I said, there's a UFO right there. And flying saucer, I guess I told him. Well, he said, that's a star. And I said, no, it's not either. And we stood around there for a while and looking at it. And pretty soon it took off and went straight east towards the steam plant. Well, I've seen them hovering over the doggone Columbia River, too. One time I went down to there one night. I called in. I need something for the cat. I broke something that day, and I called in, and they put it out. They have a place to put it out for you. And I went down and picked it up. That night coming back, I seen this dark brown thing over the Columbia River. Now, this has been several years ago.
Uh-huh.
Probably been 14 years ago. But anyway, I kept watching it, and it was, you know, wasn't up too high, maybe a couple thousand feet, so I kept watching the doggone thing, and I thought it looked like it was kind of going dim, and so I pulled up there and stopped then, and it went dim a couple times after that then, and then it went out, and I didn't see a doggone thing. I sat there for a couple of minutes, pretty soon to come on. It was hovering over a house on the Oregon side there, about 400 or 500 feet above the house. And then I come on home, and I didn't say nothing about it. And the next day, my wife read where two women from Olympia had seen a flying saucer hovering over the Columbia River south of Longview. But I never reported it because nobody believed it. Because there'd been people around here at that time talking about them, and nobody really believed them.
Okay, about what time was your sighting tonight?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m. Okay, if anything else big happens, why, be sure and let us know. And
well, if you can get a hold of one of them infrared lenses now for a camera, telescope, with an inch deal, with a, mine's a female thread. It's got to have the threads right on the scope.
1 inch infrared, female threads.
Yeah. Well, this would be a male thread. This screws into the deal on my camera, see. It'd have to have the threads on the lens. But now these infrared lenses, now that National Geographic magazine was out here running a survey on old Bigfoot. They got, they got some pictures that Bull Big put up there in the dark, they claim, and they was down to my place taking pictures of the animals there one night, about 11 o'clock. Now, if we could get a hold of them, that'll show that thing right up, just like daytime.
Well, I'll work on that. See what
okay.
I can do.
All right.
Okay, and thanks very much again for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yes. Verbal in Seattle again.
Yeah, well, now listen. You ought to be here with some doggone binoculars. I spotted two of them tonight just at dusk. The light was bright. I had a 40-power scope on it up here and belonged to Tom Davis's kid there at Winlock. And we got that one in sight just before dark there. It showed a real red light in the center and blue on the outside edge. And then we flipped it around on the other one, and it had a blue light. Let's see now. Anyway, it was just opposite.
Uh-huh.
Only it had a green light around the outside edge. And then we put it back on the other one, and it had changed altogether. It was all red in the center, just a dim red, not a real bright, wasn't real bright red like it used to be at first. At first it was blue. Then it showed red all over it with just a outside edge of it was green. I'm just hooking up my binoculars now to my tripod here. I'm going to go out and get a bunch of guys to show it to them.
What part of the sky is this in?
It'd be the southwest part.
Uh-huh.
But if you know where the town of Winlock is,
yeah.
Why, it's south of Winlock a little bit.
Oh, I see. Is the object moving at all?
No, it's just standing still. And I started scanning the sky here, and I was looking clear here at dusk. And boy, I spotted two of them. But you never know. Now, I come home last night, and I was going to go to bed. The guy called me up. That state representative here from down here at Toledo called me and said, Clay Jorgensen wanted to see me. And I went down at 11 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, he closed that place up. And we walked outside, and I said, by golly, I said, there are two UFOs right there. And there's a bunch of guys and their names all out there viewing them. And they said, well, now, they said, boy, that is a different doggone color than them stars from that United Farm Agency over here in Winlock. And we stood there watching about 5 minutes. One of them started going dim. And it went real dim, and then it got bright again. It done that about 5 or 6 times. And then the other, and it started doing it. And pretty soon, by golly, they both went out. And when we spot them in the sky again, all of once they come on real bright, they moved over there several miles to the west. And then that cop come along, and him and I viewed them till almost 2 o'clock this morning. And finally, they went out. One of them moved when him and I was watching them.
Uh-huh.
And it took off, one of them. And then the other one went out, and then about 5 minutes later, didn't come on. So I come on home, and then I got the binoculars out. Turn around to the northwest here.
See.
Steve spotted something moving up there around about one moving around the stars I told you about.
Uh-huh.
It stopped two different times. It just stopped right up around them stars. The only time we could see it then was, you know, when it starts moving.
Oh, yes.
By golly, I can't find that doggone stars now. Her name was, I think it was, but they was going to get their address last weekend. They said they might go down there. But she said they heard some weird doggone noises out in the yard, and they went out there, and it was one of them doggone flying saucers.
And this was when she was a little girl?
Yeah.
How old a woman is she now?
Oh, I don't, well, she's married. That's about all I can tell you. But anyway, they was going to get her phone number and everything. I said, well, get her phone number, and guys probably want to call her up. But I can't even, well, I know about the name.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember writing it down. I had it wrote on the back of one of your cards. I may have given that card to somebody. A guy told me the other day he'd seen a lot of them. I gave him one of your cards, but I don't know if that guy will call in or not.
Well, you never can tell.
He said, you type the call. He said, well, give me a call, collect. Well, I said, collect my foot, just call him. Oh, I said, we're going to run them phone bills up. You screwball people, you know.
This gal is in Elm.
Elma.
Elma.
E-L-M-A.
Oh.
That's on the road to Aberdeen.
Right.
Well, I'll get a hold of that man Chestnut, and I'll get her from his wife there, her name again. And like I say, they said they might go down there last weekend. I don't know if they did or not, but it'd really could have talked to them.
Uh-huh. Oh, that'd be beautiful.
The guy gave me an article here yesterday about one of those singers. Now, I don't know what his name was, Cereal or Greg Go or some such a name. He'd seen one over there in 1962 between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Landed. And he said that steel dome was turning.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, it like to scared him to death.
Yeah, well, you
know. Somebody read about that article in the paper here, and they dropped that paper off there yesterday, that clip a minute.
Oh, was that the National Enquirer?
No, it wasn't in the Enquirer. I don't know what it was in.
Uh-huh.
I asked him. He said, no, it wasn't. I dropped the doggone thing in my pickup. But...
you been doing any sky watching?
Boy,
lately?
My vertebrae's been out of place in my neck. I haven't been doing much watching. I had to pull the car tractor the other day. We really got to watching them around here. And I sold that vertebrae out of place in my neck. I went up there just a day or two before you was here. I haven't really been doing any watching.
No, you're going to have to get yourself a cot and lay on your back and watch.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. We've been down on our hands and knees looking through that dog telescope web page, and they're crawling around out there in the gravel. My knees are doggone sore. I couldn't hardly walk for a couple of days here. Oh, I tell you that. That's Did you talk to Paul?
We didn't get a chance when we were down there. We spent most of the afternoon...
Don, you want to see what Paul Brum, man. Now, listen, he can name all them guys that live over there in that doggone power line. And say, that woman... Did I tell you about that woman that works in the liquor store? About that one of them I found her? I don't think I've seen you since then. No, that's a new one. Anyway, her daughter went out that Jones Road that leads out there underneath that power line, a year or two ago. And it followed her with them doggone flashing lights on it. It followed her out there, and it hovered over the house whenever she took this girlfriend out there to get something at the house, and they came back. And like to scare them girls to death, it followed her back down the road there then, almost to Winlock. But you see, they've been hovering around them power lines out there about 100 feet above the power line.
Right.
And all them people's knowed it.
That's quite a substation out there, too.
That Nabovine, you mean?
Yes. That's a
well,
big one.
It is. That's what Paul told me. He said they don't go to Nabovine. He said they go right down the power line and down right over the substation there. Well, I never thought of that, see. I just thought it was hovering over the doggone town of Nabovine for some reason. But, anyway, why, this is a hot spot here. Well, there's no question about it. They're charging them batteries up, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I've never said nothing about that, I figure our government owns them. Now, my brother got a good look at them one time, and I can tell you what makes them work. There's no question about it. They got vents that opens up on them. He looked at them with binoculars, and he says that they're worked with some kind of shutters that opens on the bottom of them, and then when them motors turn, it pushes the air, it sucks the air through from the side and pushes it down to make them go straight up. Then when they want to go, in a straight line, why, then they open them up on the side or something. The way he told me all about it. Oh, he said our government owns them without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
And he said they're coming out of New Mexico. That's where their home station is, without a doubt, he says. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's why I've never even said much about it. But then Kent and them wanted me to put that article in the paper, so I put that one in there. But,
well, that's glad he did.
I tell you, it's a good thing if the government does own it that they should never tell nobody nothing. They've not done, everybody selling this information is unbelievable. They ought to shoot them. And then if they catch some of them guys, shouldn't even give them a try, just shoot them.
Yeah.
But, anyway, nevertheless, whoever owns them, they're really something.
Oh, they've been around for a long time.
Well, that's right. Now, them Indians talk about them blue lights in the sky, man, for 300 years. Their ancestors tell that. I don't know. But anyway, why, they're quite a machine.
Well, we'll try to get a hold of this to see what she has to say.
Yeah, that's right. They've probably got a phone. I haven't seen old Lynn. I don't know if they went down there, him and his wife, last weekend or not. But I'm sure that was her name. Doggone, I can't figure out what the doggone heck I done with that card. I had it in there. I may have given one of them cards away. I had it wrote on the back of that card. Now, let's go down underneath that. Oh, well, just a minute. Let me run down and pick up the secret in there.
Okay.
Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Jackie.
Is that J-A-C-K-I-E?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And, that buddy...
Uh-huh.
...that seen that one, he's a singer. And he said it had a brilliant white flashing light. Well, he's seen one, no doubt. Now, there's no question about that. Well, there's been a number of people told me around about seeing them. I just told me this morning down there, if they seen some here about a year ago up there over their place, and I've seen them out in there. That's where old seen all of them, that out in that same area where that Lynn,
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, you get down here and start walking around them power lines here at night time when the weather gets good. They'll be around there.
All right, well, we got a couple spots picked out to do a little overnight camping.
Well, did you go out there on the King Road and look up that hill there?
Well, I don't know what the name of the road was, but we went right down to the substation and then checked out some of the other area under the power line.
Well, now, if you don't find them anytime, you let me know. I know where they stay over here. I see them almost every night in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen more here now the last doggone 3 weeks than I've ever seen at any one time. Well, there's four one night down in Toledo. There was two of them. I told you about seeing them, I think, didn't I?
Yes.
Jim Netlin seen them. Hey, I wanted to tell you about that light, too. That guy seen over that helicopter?
Yes.
He said that light was about 200 feet above that helicopter. He said he was watching the light, wondering what it was. He couldn't see nothing but that bright light. And when that helicopter come along and got right underneath that light, he seen a big puff of smoke. And the rotary came off of the doggone helicopter, is what he said.
Uh-huh.
Now, by golly, I don't know what it done, but he said that big bright light was all he could see. Well, I've seen them bright lights before, by golly, long evening, and couldn't see a doggone thing. That's why I say, I think they're invisible unless it's dusk. Well, after it gets dusk a little bit, why, then they show up.
Uh-huh.
I seen one of them one time up there at Chehalis, a big bright light. And I'll be doggone, there wasn't a thing when the light went off. I stopped and looked, and there wasn't a thing to see.
What was his name again? Uh-huh.
Now, somebody told him about it, but it was one of them guys that was traveling to see, he lived in Seattle, or was going to Seattle. He had paid to get a hold of him.
Yes.
Now,
yep.
The Army probably knows who it was because they said a guy called in. There was two guys seen it that I know of. One of the guys stopped over there at my boy's store at Winlock and made the phone call and said that he'd seen a helicopter crash south of the Wild Animal Farm.
Yes.
And the other guy, he reported it from up here somewhere else going north.
Do you remember the date on that?
No, I don't.
I can check it out anyway.
I don't remember the date. We could look it up. I probably got the papers there at home yet, maybe. You know, they never did put in the paper about that helicopter, about that rotary coming off.
Yeah, I know. I followed that, and I never did see that.
They said that they didn't know what caused the crash. It failed to clear a hill. Well, there was no hill there. It was right on level ground.
Uh-huh.
You know, an airplane crashed in there one time, by golly, not too long ago, and they couldn't never figure that out either. in that same patch of brush. Do you know that?
No.
That's right. An airplane crashed in there on a good clear day and killed that guy.
Well, we're going to have to follow that up.
And that airplane, boy, I would say that it wasn't over probably 300 feet from where this helicopter crashed.
Uh-huh. Well, when I get a hold of this woman, I'll let you know. And
just tell her that, Beth's wife told me about it, about her seeing it.
Okay.
Some of them are really skeptical. They won't talk to doggone people, you know, they're... You can't hardly get them to talk about this. Now, since that article's been in the paper, why, everybody all over this country has seen them. But they said, oh, don't be as buck-cast as I told you this. They said, people think I'm nuts.
Uh-huh.
I said, listen, man, seeing is believing. I said, let them say whatever they want to say. That's what I told them down at the bank this morning. I said, listen, the mayor was in there. I said, listen, seeing is believing. She said, I'd like to see one of them. Well, I said, the next time I see one, I'll get a hold of you. Show it to you. I said, I know what I've seen. And I said, there ain't nobody going to change my mind on it. I'll guarantee you that. But there's been a lot of people seen them.
Sure.
I know
sure.
that because, man, there's been dozens of them contacting me since I've seen you. But they've seen them all over this country. And I'll tell you another woman. She didn't see it, but her daughter seen one. She lives at Castle Rock. She used to work down there in that drugstore in Toledo.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that one night her daughter was going home that I'd been telling her about the flying saucers. We've been seeing them all the time, you know. When I go in there, I'd tell Leroy Costello. And I said, well, we seen another UFO last night. We were talking about, you know. And so, by golly, one day I went in there to get stuff. And she told me, said, say, my daughter seen a UFO there. And I heard her boyfriend. But they stopped to look at it. And the motor died in the car, and it wouldn't start, and they had to walk home. And they said, then we went back with them, her husband, and was going to tow the car home, and by golly, they got in there, and it started right up, but that UFO was gone then. Well, I know it made my radio go dead one time here, but that was a kidney-shaped thing, that big last nose thing.
Yes.
It wasn't a round one at all. I got to get a hold of that Gene. I want to talk to him and find out now about that one that was that they seen up there, either for all them little ones around it, they was unloading them or letting them in or what. But I'll tell you another woman now I found out. Bill's wife is the one that lived up there around SeaTac Airport.
Yes.
It was dark when she seen them. It let a dozen little ones out. A dozen lights came out of this other light and flew around for about 20 minutes. And went back in the mothership and took off. And sat right there about the same place that one was for about a half an hour. I'd heard about her seeing her. I mentioned that to you, didn't I? That
yes,
day?
I think so, yes.
I talked to her husband in the meantime
uh-huh.
about it. Well, I took some movies of that light the other night. I don't know if it'll show up or not. God, I've been trying to get a hold of that special lens to take some pictures of them, but... I know they've got to have some kind of deals. Have you guys got any cameras of any kind to take pictures
oh,
with?
Oh, yes, all kinds of cameras.
Well, what do you use to get a picture of them lights with?
Just plain color film.
Plain color film, movie?
Either one, either movie or still.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
It'll show up, huh?
Oh, yes.
Oh? Well, I'll be doggone. Well, that's something. Yeah, well, I won't keep you about. I'll let you know if anything exciting happens.
Thanks much for calling. Okay.
Goodbye. Bye.